Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Neil Garfield Show, a presentation sponsored by www.livinglies.wordpress.com, GTC Honored, and The Garfield Firm, serving all 50 states with news and analysis of the latest bank scams against borrowers, homeowners, consumers, and investors, and providing legal representation throughout Florida. This program is for general information only. It is not a solicitation for services or legal representation and should never be used as a substitute for advice from a licensed professional. And now, here's world-renowned financial expert, attorney, and blogger, Neil Garfield.
And hello, this is Neil Garfield, and this is Thursday, January 15th, 2015. Happy New Year to all of you who couldn't join us last week. And thanks to all the readers on the Living Lies blog for pushing us over 10 million visits on our website. And a hearty welcome to all the bank lawyers listening in to see what I'm going to do next. The Supreme Court of the United States, whose decision is final, says unanimously that rescission allowed under the Truth in Lending Act, which is frequently referred to as TILA, means what it says. It would seem logical that you wouldn't need the United States Supreme Court to say that the statute means what it says. But apparently it was necessary because hundreds of decisions across the country went against the express wording of the statute. And despite many commentators besides myself, I started in 2007 and 2008 to say that if anybody sent a notice of rescission to their lender, that they nullified their mortgage, as the statute says, by operation of law. That means the mortgage doesn't exist anymore, and the lender, pretender lender, or whoever they are, owes you a satisfaction of mortgage if you sent that notice within the time period set forth under TILA. And we don't have enough time to go through all the arguments about when that time is. But generally speaking, it's 3 days under one set of rules and 3 years under another. There is no mortgage if you did it within the time period required under TILA, and that means that there are thousands of people who still own property they thought was foreclosed years ago. Think about that. There are people who've been evicted and maybe even have a deficiency judgment against them on a mortgage foreclosure that was a phantom mortgage foreclosure that was void. Not voidable, but void. The mortgage was nullified when the notice of rescission was sent. And the so-called lenders involved not only owe you a satisfaction of mortgage, they owe you every penny you paid at closing for points, fees, and anything else. And they owe you every penny you ever made in your monthly payments, at least for principal and interest. The Federal Truth in Lending Act, TILA, from the time it was enacted, has been the sole protection to consumers of increasingly sophisticated financial products. In the last 30 to 35 years, the number of different types of loans went from 4 or 5 to over 400. Truth in Lending Act required a number of disclosures, including good faith estimates, disclosure of who the lender was, because the principal purpose of TILA, among other things, was to make sure that the consumer had the power of choice as to who they were doing business with, and seeing all the people that were involved in the loan and who were being paid as a result of the origination of the loan. Even unsophisticated borrowers frequently can recognize the fact that if there are 10 intermediaries all getting paid, they can probably get a better deal somewhere else where there's only one or two intermediaries involved, a mortgage broker, etc. Lenders became aware that they were vulnerable to huge penalties, including the proverbial free house, if they screwed around with the requirements of TILA. And for a while, things were fairly even-handed and there was no tilt in the playing field. Then came an army of lawyers paid by Wall Street with briefs stacked to the ceiling and assumptions on the part of judges that no bank with a big brand name would engage in a systemic pattern of fraud. Despite all of the publicity surrounding the 50-state investigation of all of the players in the securitization market. And suddenly the TILA protections started to melt away as early as 2006, as millions lost their homes and tens of millions were displaced to phantom mortgages and phantom foreclosures that were made real by misguided orders of judges in the courts. And then suddenly the United States Supreme Court, usually bitterly divided on partisan lines, came out with a unanimous decision that put TILA back as the centerpiece on the table. Everything was changing before, and it's changing even more now. That rescission remedy is not the same as the rescission remedy at common law or anywhere else. And the assumption that you have to file suit in order to enforce the rescission was expressly denied in an opinion written by none other than Judge Scalia. He said, and I quote from him, "A borrower exercising his right to rescind under the Act need only provide written notice to his lender within the 3-year period, not file suit within that period." So that's number one. Number two, rescission is affected when the borrower notifies the creditor of his intention to rescind. This is going to be an issue as to who the creditor is. And the interesting part of this is that in lawsuits involving the rescission, you will find the other side claiming what we've been claiming for 8 years, that the creditor is not who the borrower thought it was, and the borrower notified the wrong creditor. I don't think that'll go very far, but you're going to see that argument. And the fact that the Act, this is a quote from Scalia, the fact that the Act modified the common law condition precedent to rescission at law hardly implies that the Act thereby codified rescission in equity. Now, what they were addressing there was what hundreds of courts have held, which is, well, if you're going to rescind, then you have to have the money on hand to pay the lender or pretender lender. Otherwise, your rescission means nothing. But that's not what the statute was intended to do, and it's not what it says. The purpose of the statute was to give the borrower a hammer in the event that the lender misbehaved. And so there is no tender required in order to rescind. And we have the issue now of all those notices of rescission that were sent and continue to be sent, where the foreclosure was allowed to occur and where bankruptcy courts lifted a stay to allow the foreclosure to continue. All those orders, judgments, and decisions appear to me to be void now if the borrower gave notice within the 3-year period. And there's going to be argument about when that period begins and ends, but for the time being, just consider it from the date of closing. And you'll be more or less correct. Homeowners are starting to win, as I told you last week. We had a nice win last week. But we still have those legal presumptions and the perception by the judges that you got the money, you didn't make the payment, you should lose. And I encountered that this week myself, where a judge basically struck virtually all the defenses and refused to allow any discovery. That'll be an issue, obviously, on appeal, but there are still plenty of cases out there, despite the rising number of judges that are holding the banks to a tougher standard. There are still plenty of judges out there who are just summarily ruling in favor of the banks, and they consider any argument to the contrary to be an argument for a windfall for the homeowner. Of course, in blind justice, whether it's a windfall to the homeowner or a windfall to the lender shouldn't matter. If you apply the law in an even-handed, just manner with due process, the result will favor one party or another, perhaps more or less than somebody else might want, but that's the point. You're applying the same law to the same facts in the same way and producing a just result. The law keeps evolving. The courts are showing in unsteady steps, but leading increasingly to the inevitable showdown where the debts, notes, and mortgages, the alleged sales of mortgages, are mostly shown to be a huge fraudulent scheme, and the actual foreclosure furtherance of the fraudulent scheme of deceiving the investors on Wall Street. That brings us to the Federal Truth in Lending Act and that surprising unanimous decision from the U.S. Supreme Court, returning us to the consumer protections that were codified in TILA, the Truth in Lending Act, for decades. And it is important to go back and reread this. I'm broadcasting live from Boynton Beach, Florida, brought to you by the Living Lives blog, GTC Honors, AMGAR, the Garfield firm with offices in South Florida. And this show is specially brought to you because of donations to the Living Lives blog from listeners like you. Thank you. And a special thanks to all the lawyers reaching out to me from across the country, sharing ideas, pleading, strategies, and decisions. The tide has turned. We are turning that corner. Lawyers are picking up the torch and running with it. I'm proud now to be a member of the legal profession and watch how, for the sake of consumers who normally are outgunned by the banks, lawyers are picking up the cases and fighting back, and many times doing so successfully now, whereas a few years ago, that was considered to be impossible. The bankruptcies that have been filed were done so in good faith, but still, in many cases, incorrectly, by listing property as being secured when the property was unsecured, by the notice of rescission, which the borrower had sent to the lender or pretender lender. For those of you who are not contributors to the blog, we ask that you call 954-495-9867 and pledge whatever you think you can afford. Even $5 per month will make a difference for thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of people. A little goes a long way. Call 954-495-9867 or 520-405-1688 and pledge what you can. If you get voicemail, please leave a message. Our mission here is to share as much information as we can to help beleaguered homeowners and other people who may not even be aware of the fact the housing crisis has had in their lives. If you've lost a job, you're being paid less, or you're losing benefits, it's most likely caused, at least in part, by the banks who suck the life out of our economy. We have concentrated almost exclusively on mortgage loans, but soon we will turn our attention and our fire to student loans, credit card debts, auto loans, and other consumer loans that have been subjected to false claims of securitization. If you are a homeowner who signed documents without realizing you were not getting the money from the party named on the note, the mortgage, and the settlement documents, you may not owe any money on the note and the mortgage that was recorded. The mortgage might be void or subject to nullification by a court, which means quiet title is possible, despite decisions and comments to the contrary over the last few years, some of which were none too kind to me. What you need to know is that this is not about a free house, and that the debt might still exist, and that a creditor might be out there. And that's probably true, and that's something that needs to be worked out. The servicers in these loans have to be knocked out of their intermediary of their intermediary position, and somebody else needs to come in as an intermediary between the investors who bought into these bogus deals on Wall Street, but whose money was used for loans, and the borrowers who were sold comprehensively complex loans that lawyers, investment bankers, accountants, in many cases, could not understand even on the fifth reading. So if you were a homeowner who was lured into a deal that couldn't work based upon blatant lies told to you by people who knew better and who knew you would believe them, then you're in the right place here. And then the other lie, which is that you have to be 90 days behind to be considered for a loan modification. That's the way the banks get you into default. And they immediately create the impression that you're a deadbeat, even though they're the ones that told you to stop paying. Stop paying. We will get you a modification, and we will give you the opportunity to save your home. And then they avoid all of that, and they continue with the foreclosure. That one is backfiring against the banks all across the country. There's a lot of judges, even that are pro-bank, that don't like that. And there are many other issues as well. But the important thing is to start with the basics. And I'll take questions in a moment. You start with the loan contract. People don't realize there is a loan contract, but it's created by several documents. Who made the offer? Who accepted it? What were the terms? And was the loan completed by the parties to the contract? That last part is the key. Was the loan completed by the parties to the contract? And the answer is, in many, in fact, most cases, no. because the party who actually loaned the money was not party to the contract. That doesn't mean you don't owe the money, but it's an unsecured debt. Blind justice should not care about which side gets what greater benefit from the court's decision. More and more judges are seeing that the basics are where the banks have failed. And if everyone actually behaved according to basic law and morality, we wouldn't need the Truth in Lending Act to begin with. But obviously, the savings and loan crisis and various other periods in our economic history have shown that you cannot trust the banks to do the right thing. Back in 2008, guy by the name of Brad Keiser, some of you might remember him, joined me on the lecture circuit, and as a banker, he prepared a detailed analysis of the Truth in Lending Act, which is still available from us in a PowerPoint presentation that is as good today as it was in 2008. But now with the Supreme Court joining in, people believe in what is stated in the Truth in Lending Act. Back then, in 2008, we were dismissed as being off track, wrong, conspiracy theorists, you name it. But what we said back then about TILA is what the Supreme Court just said this week. Nobody believed homeowners could win back then. Now, homeowners were winning before this decision came out, and a lot more will win and be able to go back and reclaim their homes. Now, the point of the statute was to protect the consumer. The courts did not allow TILA defenses. Courts did not agree that TILA protections were proper for borrowers, and certainly did not agree that TILA issues should be an issue which could defeat a foreclosure. But the brief decision written by Justice Scalia basically says that all those hundreds of cases were overturned, and the opinions expressed here and in the Living Lies blog for the last 8 years were corroborated in full. Reg Z, which is a provision that goes in addition to TILA and promulgated by the Federal Reserve, has long stated that a pattern of conduct where loans were table funded was predatory per se. That means it's bad per se. And that means that even if you didn't rescind, the option of foreclosure should not be available because it was bad behavior by the pretender lenders that got you into that spot. Add that to the argument of being lured into default by a bank that says you can't be considered for modification unless you're 90 days in default, and presto, you have a strong, very strong, unclean hands argument that does not need to rise to the level of fraud. Lawyers, take notice of that, because you only need to prove that by a preponderance of the evidence. And that should stop the foreclosure. To the extent that trial judges don't, I think they're subject to reversal. All the pretender can do is sue you for the money in that case and get a judgment that can be discharged in bankruptcy. Under both the TILA rescission scenario and the unclean hands, the debt is not secured, even if it was owed to the originator and the successors to the originator. And it is not secured if the original loan was table funded anyway, because you got the money from an illegally undisclosed party instead of the party on the note and mortgage, the disclosure documents, and the settlement documents. So before I can I run the clock completely on here, I've got some people with questions. Area code 920, first three digits 219. We have a few moments. Please ask your question quickly.
All right, Neil. It's regarding the statute of limitations on the rescission. If you went to the closing table, say, 7 years ago, and you were unaware of the fraud, and you now got a copy of the wire confirmation and shows that the it was a table-funded loan, can you still file a rescission? And the second part of the question is...
The answer to that question is that, according to some decisions that have been rendered across the country, you might still be able to give notice of the right of rescission and the fact that the rescission is done. Don't forget, it's effective the moment that they get notice. If the grounds for the rescission have been withheld from you, then the argument is, and this has not been completely decided, that the statute of limitations does not run on that notice until you knew or should have known of the grounds upon which you would have rescinded. But that's not decided. So we have area code 360, first three digits, 904. Please ask your question quickly.
Hi, Neil. Thank you for your outreach to all of us. My question regards, I'll use our situation very quickly because it probably pertains to many people. We executed a perfect
decision
on it.
Do it very quickly. We only have about a minute.
People who filed rescission and lost in a motion for summary judgment because of the one-year lawsuit requirement, do we have no recourse now? We lost our case because of it.
No, I think that that's exactly what I was talking about in my narrative when I started the show. I think anybody who has sent a notice of rescission to a lender, according to the Truth in Lending Act, they've canceled the mortgage. Anything that happened after that was on a canceled mortgage for which you were entitled to a satisfaction of mortgage. So it's my opinion that based upon each state law and federal law, et cetera, as to how far back you can go, it's my opinion you can undo a lot of those. In fact, most of those can be undone. And the fact that the mortgage doesn't exist means that a quiet title action could easily be filed. Next is area code 407, first few digits, 927. You just have a few seconds. I probably shouldn't even have taken this one, but go quick.
Just wondering if you can file a rescission notice after a judgment but before a sale.
I would say that you probably can file a rescission notice at any time. There does not seem to be any restriction about that, and Scalia made a specific point of saying that there are no restrictions on that. Obviously, that might be subject to future court decisions, but in my opinion, if you're within the 3 years, you can do it at any time, and that ends the mortgage. That pretty much wraps things up for now. We'll go into our outro in a few seconds, and thank you very much for joining me, and I'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to our broadcast. We hope that you tell your friends about us and let them know that there is hope and help in this financial crisis. Tune in every week to The Neil Garfield Show for free information and advice, and visit our blog daily at The Living Lies Blog. We provide support services, the latest strategies, analysis, expert consultations, testimony, and declarations to use in your battle against the largest economic crime in human history. For information concerning Neil, the team at Living Lies, or the law firm, go to www.livinglies.wordpress.com or call 520-405-1688. The opinions expressed on this broadcast are those of the host and should not be attributed to any other person or entity.